Psalm 34. One of these days I'm going to get this thing figured out. I need to put a little white line on this cord so I know how far to wrap it around there. I'm either going to hang myself with it, choke myself with it, or trip over it, but I don't know what's going to happen. Some of y'all are laughing way too much about that. I don't know about that. Amen. I was going to get you for that. No. the Lord's good to us. He's merciful. Long-suffering. Psalm 34. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you. We thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to meet here together, Lord, in your church. For allowing us to be part of something bigger than us. Bigger than the flesh. Bigger than this world, Lord. It's a spiritual movement that you have been in the midst of and allowing us to be a part of, and we thank you for it. And Lord, I ask that you would just deal with our hearts and our minds today and help us. Lord, draw close to us. We draw nigh to you, draw nigh to us. Lord, help us to leave this place closer to you than we were when we come in. And Lord, you know the needs of each and every mind, each and every heart. Lord, change us for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 34, beginning in verse number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. All their troubles. Isn't that something? One of these days he's going to call us out of here and deliver us out of all of our troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. I want to look at some things today as we go back through these verses. And the first thing I want to see in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want to see the bold. The bold. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing. We talked earlier. We talked in Sunday school. I was just bragging on the Lord for giving me more than I deserve. He didn't just stop at salvation. He took me from a messed up life that I'd created the mess in and gave me not only eternal hope, but daily hope. I have a family I don't deserve, kids I don't deserve, a church I don't deserve. I have a vehicle that brought me here I don't deserve. The comforts that he gives me are far beyond what I deserve. I want to talk about the bold. I mean, we should be bold and just bragging on him, talking about what he's done for us. I think a lot of times the world don't want what you have or what I have or what supposed Christianity has because we act like we don't have anything. Yeah, amen. I mean, some people have... they're so caught up in the world, and the world has them to such an extent, and they have such a hold on the world that the world doesn't really see any difference between the lost and the saved. But the bold, just bragging on Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, we can sit here and talk about it to one another, and we have fellowship dinners, and we brag on the Lord. I like our fellowship dinners because we don't get too far down the line without talking about Jesus Christ, even when we're eating food. Amen? It's a good time. But how many people that you talk to every day, that you work with, that you rub shoulders with, know what God has done for you this week? How many people that are lost and on their way to hell that you run into, that you know, that you rub elbows with, that you cross paths with, that you have the opportunity to talk with, that actually know what God's done for you today? I will leave this building, and some of us will go to the gas station. Some of us will go to the Bob Evans, good night, you're going to be there for a while. Some of us will go to the restaurant or where have you, and you'll rub shoulders with people. You'll talk to the waitress. You might even leave her a track and a tip. But are you going to tell her what Jesus Christ has done for you today? You know, a lot of folks don't want to go to church because they think, why go to church? You know what? How about sitting there at Bob Evans for that 45-minute wait for your salad? Amen? God's blessing you with an opportunity. The waitress comes back, fills your water 64 times before you get your food. Amen? Out of one of those 64 times, you can say, boy, you should have been at church today. You would not believe the singing. God showed up, he got into singing, and I'll tell you what, we had a good time. We just fellowshiped with the Lord during the singing. And the preaching, the Bible, we got the Bible today. We got the Bible. I got a Bible I can take home and read. I read my Bible this morning. God gave me something out of it. I went to church, and by the grace of God, even in spite of the preacher, God gave me something. Amen. We had a good time at church today. The bold. We should be bold about telling people what Jesus Christ not only has done, but what he is doing in our lives. That could be addictive. They could want what you've got. It could be contagious. Amen. Look at 2 and 3. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The boasting. There he is. Boasting. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Boasting in the Lord. It's all Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Hey, where'd you get that truck? That's a nice truck. That's a nice outfit. Oh, the Lord blessed me with it. Amen. Amen. Oh, I've worked hard and I've done this and I've done that. I've got an education. I've got a degree. I got a piece of paper. I sat through class all these years. I worked my fingers to the bone. No. How about the Lord blessed me with that? Because even if you think about everything that you have, and no matter whether you work for it or not, he give you the air to breathe to work for it. He give you the fingers to work for it. He give you the hands, the legs, the feet to work for it. He give you the eyes, the ears, the brain. He give you the ability, whatever your abilities might be. Praise God. God gave me the ability to do it. You know, I sat through school for a long time. I got a big piece of paper. When they give me my degree, I thought, good night, man. I could wrap that thing up like a blanket. But you know what I realized? In practice, if God didn't show up, didn't matter what I knew. It matters who I know, not what I know. I remember a lady bringing her dad in the office over in Illinois, and he had late stage cancer. It was in his bones. It was in his spine. And she laid him down on this table. We laid him down, and he was in pain, just going down that table, and that table hit the bottom and shook a little bit. And And I remember thinking, I can't do anything for this guy. And I remember laying my hands on his back. And just praying, Lord, help him. Help this man. Bless this daughter that brought her daddy in here. Wanting something that is impossible for man. He peeled his shirt up, put a little bit of biofreeze on there, and just prayed. She brought him back in a couple of days later, and she said, boy, he's had some really good days. I don't know what you did for him. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. I've been praying for your dad. Because God just showed up and done something that's not in the books. It's in this book. But it wasn't in anatomy and physiology. It wasn't in microbiology. It wasn't in virology. It wasn't in public health. It wasn't in embryology. It wasn't in any of those books. He done something you can only find in his book. He performed a miracle. Oh, I could have said, yeah, well, me and that biofreezer are a good team. I'm glad we could help your dad. That would have been the biggest lie I'd told that day. God just showed up and done something for your daddy. Boasting in the Lord. Verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see if the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The bold, the boasting, the blessed. That word blessed means a couple different things. It means to be made happy. It means to be consecrated or set apart for the Lord. But that happiness comes from trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the world will leave you sad. Amen. Trusting in temporal things will leave you disappointed. Trusting in self will leave you let down and discouraged. But trusting in the Lord will bless your soul. The devil has been working hard to steal people's blessing, to take their happiness. That's what he does. He doesn't want you to be bold. He doesn't want you to boast on the Lord. He doesn't want you to be blessed. He just wants to blast. The trust in the Lord will leave you satisfied. Look at verse 13. The bold, the boasting, the blessed. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. There's the bridle. The bridle. I remember Jim Lentz. I heard him preach a message one time. If you ever heard Jim Lentz preach, he was an amazing preacher. God used him in a mighty way. Him and Jim White are two of my favorite preachers. Amazing. Jim Lentz, he had a lady come up to him. She said, oh, do you have the gift of the Holy Ghost? Can you speak in tongues? He said, lady, if I had the Holy Ghost the way I needed, I wouldn't need to speak in tongues. I need a bridle for the one I've got. And that's exactly where we are. We need to learn how to keep our mouths shut sometimes. We need to know how to control that tongue, because that tongue does more damage than you could ever imagine. That tongue can do more damage than a .45. It can do more damage than a 50 caliber sniper rifle. It can do more damage than a tank. It can do more damage than an RPG or a surface-to-air missile. It can destroy more than a nuclear bomb can destroy. But also, it contains life. And life is from that book, from the Scripture. I don't know how many times I have people call me up or text me with a problem, and I tell them, you know what, folks from out of state, out of town, whatever, and I tell them, you know what, I'll pray for you and give them a Bible verse, because I'll be honest with you, I ain't got nothing to say. I got nothing to help them with other than the Word of God. I can remember other times when I tried to fix things that were unfixable and just made things worse. Amen. Because the next thing you know, they're feeling guilty like it's their fault, and the devil's just kicking their teeth in. Sometimes we just need to control our tongue. The bridle. Powerful weapon that can be used for good or evil, the tongue. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. I want to talk for just a little bit about broken things. Broken things. This world is full of broken things. I mean, if you live very long, you're going to realize that things break. Cars break down. Trucks break down. Appliances break down. Things breaking all over the place. My daughter just the other day was showing me her broken glasses. Thank the Lord for super glue, amen. They'll do, that'll do in a pinch. And duct tape, don't put duct tape on your glasses, that'll make you look funny. But the super glue, broken things, made in China. We got a lot of broken things because of, you know, amen. Things just aren't made the way they used to be. Broken this, broken that, broken the other. I want to talk about some things that really matter, though. eternally. The things that we look at that break and the things that upset us oftentimes are temporal and they're not going to last anyway. We're just upset about the timing. But there are some things that are really important. There's some broken things in this world. Broken promises. Broken vows. Broken relationships. Broken marriages. Broken people. Amen. The devil has done everything he can to break God's things up. Broken fellowship between believers. The devil wants to drive wedges and cause division. He wants to break things. And he's good at it. He's real good at it. I'm so sick of the devil, I could scream. If I could give you a list of texts I've had in the last week. Boy, if I was God, I wouldn't be doing things right, but there's one thing I would do. That old boy, old devil, would be in a lake of fire tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. I'll tell you, last night at 11, I'm telling you, he makes me so mad. I get so sick of hearing what he's doing to people. Make me want to scream. I got a preacher friend in Michigan, and his son come out as a homosexual a couple years ago. Now they're on two Facebook, and he's accepted it and telling him he loves him, he appreciates him, and all this stuff. What a mess! Broken! That's not the way God intended things. I don't care if you elect everybody in the world, if they cheat their way in or steal their way in or get in, and everybody says it's right and it's wrong with the Bible, it's still wrong. It's broken. This world is broken. It's not right. It's evil. It's wicked. It's sin. It always will be. It's not going to change. A law making it right is not going to make it right. God's law says it's wrong. It's broken. I got another friend up north. He's facing the same thing. One of them's a preacher. One of them's been a churchgoer, a regular churchgoer for years, facing the same thing with a child. Broken. Preacher told me a few weeks back, there's some church folks that have been, and I know them. He didn't give me their names. He just said, you know who they are. They've been faithful for a long time. And they were good church-going folks. They loved the Lord. Boy, they were in. They'd do anything in the world for the preacher. They'd do anything in the world for the Lord. They were at every service. Up in Michigan, they'd drive 3 foot of snow both ways to get to church. Boy, it'd be, you know, get home at 11, 12 o'clock at night sometimes because of the weather. Get up, go to work 6 o'clock in the morning. Just faithful folks. And the devil has played so many games with people over the last year that something tiny happened and they're out now. Broken. No longer in church over some petty thing. Another friend just got to see his little girl for 2 hours last Saturday and this Saturday after not seeing her for 8 months. Do you know he's the parent that saved? He's the parent that had her in church. He's the parent that led her to the Lord. He's the parent that was faithful to all the functions he could get her to. He's the parent that done everything the Lord wanted him to do with that little girl. And something happened. The devil got in there and broke that thing up. For 8 months, he didn't even see his daughter. Broken. Another preacher just got a divorce here a while back. Because his wife said there's too much Jesus going on in their house. That wasn't her exact words, but that's pretty much what it was. Too much Bible, too much church, too much this. The devil just got in there and broke some things. The devil's a destroyer. John 10 explains it. Steal, kill, and destroy. What he wants to do? He wants to steal your focus from Jesus Christ, and he wants to put it on him or the world, the flesh, and then he can kill and destroy you. He wants to steal your focus from the words of God, from the Word of God. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your testimony. wants to destroy your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know what happened to that preacher's son? The devil got in there and stole his focus. He killed some truth. And he's destroying a family. He's destroying a preacher. You know what? That preacher's still preaching. But he ain't preaching the same thing, I guarantee you that. He's accepted something they shouldn't have had to accept. But the devil got in there and just broke some things. Some things are terribly, terribly broken. But the most important thing to realize is the devil wants to destroy your fellowship with Almighty God. And if he can get you to quit fellowship with God, he can do anything he wants in your life. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of timing. It's just a matter of you breaking fellowship with God the Father. It's a matter of you breaking fellowship with this book. It's a matter of you giving up on your prayer life. It's a matter of you just saying, you know, quit. I'm done. I quit. I'm broken. And giving up. Instead of getting into Ephesians chapter 6 and say, Lord, I realize this is a spiritual battle. Help me. Give me your armor. Give me your strength. Help me to stand against the wiles of the devil. Broken. Some things in this world are just terribly, horribly broken. The devil's not the only one that breaks things. You know God breaks things? He does. He allows things to be broken. Sometimes he causes things to be broken. He allowed Job to be broken. He did. But there's a difference between the devil in God, because the devil breaks to destroy, God breaks to rebuild. In his strength, to his specifications. Oh, we'll talk and we'll walk the walk sometimes, but boy, I'm the potter and you're the potter and I'm the clay. I'm in your hands, Lord, whatever your will is. And then sometimes he'll break some things so he can rebuild. What pleases God? We went through a list here. Boldness in preaching, boasting in the Lord, the blessed man, you know, the blessed man that fears the Lord and trusts in the Lord, that pleases God. That bridle, I guarantee you that pleases God. Knowing when to keep our mouth shut. Those that are broken for him, they can start to please the Lord. Broken heart and contrite spirit. That word contrite is simply humble. True humility comes from being broken. You talk to folks, you talk to young Christians that have what they call a false humility. Well, I'm just no good. Well, that's not what they really believe. That's not what any of us really believe until we've been broken. Amen. Broken's not always bad, because God wants to rebuild. I'm glad God uses broken things. Amen. Amen. God's good that way. David sinned and was broken. He got right, and God used him in a mighty way. He said he was a man after his own heart. Jonah sinned and was broken. Got right, and God used him in a mighty way. Job, the devil just broke him. But he stayed focused on God, and God blessed him more at the end than he did in the beginning. It's an amazing God. Joseph. Oh, you want to talk about somebody that was broken. When we look at Joseph, we think, man, what a man of God. I guarantee you he was broken. Over and over and over and over again, Joseph was being broken. Joseph's family wanting to kill him, selling him into slavery, sells him out of the Midianites' hands into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lies on him. He ends up in prison. Here he is in prison. Here comes the butler and the baker, and they make a deal with him. Yeah, don't forget me. I'll tell you what the meaning of these dreams are, and don't forget me. 2 years later, he's still in prison. Tell me he wasn't broken. The greatest type of Christ in the Bible, Joseph, broken over and over and over and over again, but he stuck with God, and God used him in a mighty way. Jesus Christ came to this earth and was broken. So, well, he's God. No, he was broken and God, because he had flesh. He shed tears. He was tired. He got hungry. He got weary. He asked the Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me. Broken, but steadfast. And God used him to save your soul. Save my soul. Broken. Maybe there's somebody in here today that's just broken. Another glorious thing about our God, it could be your fault. It could be your fault. It could be the devil's fault. It could be God's will that you're broken. But no matter what, if you'll turn to him, broken, he's willing to rebuild you to his specifications, for his purpose. A lot of people just run around broken, and they don't know what to do about it. I'll tell you what to do about it. Come to an altar, get alone with God, and say, Lord, I'm broken. I need some rebuilding. And I want to live for you. Amen. It doesn't matter why or how you got broken. It matters what you do after you're broken. God's in a rebuilding business. And he will bless you. And he will use you like you could have never imagined. If you just realize, hey, I'm broken. But there's only one that can fix me. Come to God. Come to the Lord. Bow your head in your seat. Ask God to rebuild you to his specifications so you can live a life that's pleasing to him. We talked about this a little bit last week. Gideon and his 300 men, they had that light in them vessels. They surrounded the enemy. They broke them vessels. And the enemy was defeated by the light. But see, the people on the outside can't see the light on the inside until the vessel is broken. So why is this happening to me? Because God wants to use you. Even if it's your fault that it happened, God allowed it, and he wants to use you. When they broke those vessels and that light come out, it was over. What would God do with you, a broken vessel, if you just allow the light of Christ shine to a lost and dying world? I mean, look, they can't see the light. Those folks on the outside can't see what's on the inside until we're broken. Why don't you get a hold of God today and ask him to rebuild you? Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Been through some tough things in this world. Sometimes God breaks people. But he doesn't break to destroy. He breaks to rebuild in his strength, to his specifications. If you're blood-bought born again, there's no reason for you to go around just broken. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, maybe you just realize that you're a mess. You deserve to die and go to hell. The Bible says, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you're broken and lost, and God just has you exactly where He wants you. You could just call on Him and get saved today. And He could rebuild you in His strength. And if you'll walk with Him and fellowship with Him, He'll rebuild you to His specification. And He'll help you to live out that sanctified salvation life that He's called you to live.